Okay, so today we're going to have a look at the content in the first week of the course we've just started called the Permanent Revolution Playbook. And it's a bit of a funny title, but it's taken from Ephesians chapter 4. So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll just read those verses together. And because we realize that no matter which night of the week we met, so, you know, for many of us, it's not possible to meet together. We thought we'd cover this course on Sundays as well. So if you haven't got one of these course books, I've got a few left. You can get them on Kindle for just over £7. If you get the paper ones, you can write in them because there's lots of questions and things to think about and applications. I've got a few left, so see me afterwards if you want one. But this course is really helping you to discover what your fivefold ministry gift is, and we'll see what they are in Ephesians 4, and also within our church family that we can all know what each other's gifts are. Because if we're going to function as a body 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, then it's important that you know what gift Jesus has put inside you. And as time goes on, you can develop, nurture, and flourish in that gift. And none of these gifts are designed to be used in isolation. They're all designed to be used in connection, like a body. So, you know, my hand might have an apostolic gift. My elbow might be evangelistic. My shoulder might be shepherd. My leg might be teaching. And, you know, it's not the best analogy, but basically we want all the gifts. Your body has got many different functions, hasn't it? And if any of them stop working, you're in trouble, you know? That's what happens when we get ill. So basically, as the body of Christ, we need each one of us to be functioning in the gifting Jesus has given. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read from verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let's say together, to each one of us. Okay? To each one of us. Are you excluded from that statement? No, you're in this passage. This is about you. And it says, verse 8, therefore, God says, when he, Jesus, ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he, this is Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the potential that's within us individually and collectively. And really that potential is only fully realized together with all believers, that we're going to fulfill the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or teaching. It means the latest fad that might be going around the internet or stuff like that. We're not tossed to and fro by that. By the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but this is what we do, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So this passage of scripture contains some very powerful truths. I've been a Christian over 40 years, and I feel I've only just tasted a little bit of what these verses are talking about. It's probably about 20 years ago I first heard people teaching about these five gifts. But to be honest, in terms of everyday church life, I think there's a lot further we can go to see every one of us understanding what our gifting is, what each other's giftings are, and understanding how to work together to see the ministry of Jesus in Coventry, where we live, where we work every day, just as we saw in the Gospels. So here's a little diagram for you, and I probably need to come over here, don't I? So the ministry of Jesus Christ, this passage tells us, is split into five dimensions or five aspects. And they've got these names that we can understand a bit more depth what they're about. And we've looked at those in a few sessions already this year. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd or pastor and teacher. And what Paul is saying in these verses we've just read is that if we want to see the fullness of Jesus' ministry on the earth through his body, the church, then we need to see all five of these giftings functioning, okay? And I've only done a week of this course yet, but I'm enjoying really getting in to the meat of what this means in a bit more depth. So let's... one of the questions we looked at this week in the coursework... I'm just going to do a little summary for 10-15 minutes of what we've been looking at in the course book this week, and then the discussion questions that we discussed on Tuesday night, we're going to break into some smaller groups and we'll talk about them with us all. So first of all, we want to think about how did Jesus function in all these five gifts, okay? And this is what I came up with when I was thinking about it this week. Apostle. Jesus was sent. Obviously, we know he's sent from heaven to earth as a baby at Christmas. That's what we remember. And he was sent to Israel. He was a Jew. He was born of the line of Abraham, the line of David. He was Jewish. He was sent to the people of Israel. But he was also sent to train 12 disciples. And he did that for just over 3 years. He was sent to establish the church. Jesus brought to an end the old covenant period where we were under the law, where we had to keep all God's commandments if we wanted to enjoy God's blessings. Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law, and he established the new covenant between him and the Father, which means we all get to be treated by God the Father as if we are Jesus Christ himself. God treats us based on Jesus' performance, not based on our performance. Amen? So you may have been committing some sins this week. God the Father looks at Jesus when you have conversations with him, and he treats you as he treats Jesus. So Jesus was sent as an apostle to establish that new covenant, to establish the church, which is his body. He was sent to heal people. And specifically, one thing I thought of was where Jesus was sent with good news to a Samaritan woman at a well. She was... You know, in the time Jesus lived, there was a lot of racism going on, and the Jews and the Samaritans did not like each other. They were two ethnic groups, and there was a lot of hostility between them. But Jesus, a Jew, was sent to this other ethnic group, Samaritan, to meet one woman who was an outcast from her society because of the way she was living, and yet Jesus was sent with good news to her. And then that reminded me of Jesus functioning as a prophet. He said to that woman... he said to her, go and get your husband. And she says, I haven't got a husband. She was wanting to kind of cover up her colourful past. But Jesus wanted to let her know that he cared for her, even though he knew all about her. Amen. And so that's why Jesus said, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're with right now is not your husband. You told the truth there. And what you find from Jesus is grace and truth. You know, he knows all about us, and yet he loves us and accepts us perfectly. And another way we can see Jesus functioning as a prophet in Jerusalem, as he was approaching Jerusalem towards the end of his ministry, and the disciples were asking him to admire the amazing temple that had been built there by King Herod on the foundations of King Solomon's temple, and the amazing blocks. And Jesus said, not one of these blocks will be left on top of another one. And that came to pass just a few decades after Jesus died and rose again. An evangelist. We see Jesus functioning as an evangelist where he said to that Samaritan woman at the well, if you ask me, I will give you living water. In other words, Jesus is putting the bait out there. He's saying, look, I've got something that you're looking for. I've got something you really want. And, you know, those of us with an evangelistic gifting, that's part of our call, is to let people know that we've got what they're really looking for. but they haven't found it yet. They've been looking in all the wrong places. They might have been looking in alcohol, they might have been looking at drugs, they might have been looking at a succession of relationships, trying to find the perfect man or the perfect woman that will make their life complete. They might have been looking at money, materialism, a career, bigger house, bigger car, and yet they haven't found what they're looking for. Still inside, there's a thirst, there's a hunger that hasn't been met. And the gift of an evangelist means you go to people and say, look, I've got living water that's going to satisfy you like nothing else in this world. Jesus functioned as a shepherd. He said, come to me, all you who are weary. I've been feeling quite tired this week. And that's what the Holy Spirit's been saying to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I'm the good shepherd. And he said when he was praying for all his disciples at the end, I've kept all of those that you've given me, Father God. So Jesus is our shepherd. Amen. And obviously a teacher, all the parables, amazing. The parable of the sower and the seed and the wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats, the Sermon on the Mount. So would you agree we can see all these five gifts in the life of Jesus? Okay. And none of us has all five of them in the way that Jesus do. However, across his body, across the world, and even within our local church here, Jesus has distributed these five gifts. And we will find, as we get to know each other and understand more, what they are. Why is and the course we're doing is called the Permanent Revolution, because why did Jesus establish the church? He knew this world was in a mess. He knew that people need rescuing by God. And he knew the best way to do it was to establish a movement of people like you and me that would start 2,000 years ago when Jesus left the planet and would grow and grow and grow and revolutionize the world. And if you look around the world, any country around the world where you see positive improvement, economic development, scientific advance, healthcare improvements, educational improvements, you can trace it to the good news of Jesus coming into those countries. The countries that have the lowest or are suffering the most often have had least exposure to the good news of Jesus Christ in truth and power. And so Jesus has started a permanent revolution. And he was a revolutionary, so are we. So some ways that Jesus was a revolutionary. He broke the mold. He upturned the apple cart. Jesus was sent to the sinners. He didn't just go to the religious elite, to the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the priests. He went to people like Matthew the tax collector, Zacchaeus the tax collector, women like some women who'd been prostitutes, or the woman who was caught in adultery. Jesus was those kind of people were attracted to Jesus like moths to a lamp at night. He was revolutionary. Jesus challenged people's heart motives. He didn't say that you've just got to keep a load of rules and regulations. You've got to dress nice. You've got to look nice. You've got to put on a good impression. Jesus went right to the heart and he said, what are your heart motives really about? What are your thoughts like? Are your thoughts clean before God or are they impure? And he showed that actually we all need to be transformed from the inside out. We need a newborn spirit. That is a prophetic ministry. It cuts through all the outward stuff. You know, people put masks on, don't they? They put a facade on. A lot of the people we meet in our everyday lives, they might be putting a smile on, but inside they may be shattered in pieces and falling apart. And the ministry of a prophet is to see beyond, to see inside what's going on in someone's heart and to speak God's love into their heart. Caroline, who was here last week, she has a prophetic gifting, and that's why we asked her to come and encourage us from God's word. So those of us that missed the talk last week, do try and listen to it online despite some of the difficulties of the recording. Jesus is an evangelist. His words and actions were good news of hope and change for everyone. Crowds were flocking to Jesus. So the more we grow in our gifting, we will expect people to be drawn to us that are after good news, that are after hope. And, both our words and actions speak good news. We can care for people. I was thinking, coming to church this morning, that one way that we as a church community can make the most of meeting here at 87, where, I mean, there are probably hundreds of people using this building right now. How many of them actually know who we are and what we're doing? Probably not very many. But one idea I've had is, instead of having our tea and coffee at the back one week, we could actually go down to the cafe downstairs and buy a cup and tea and coffee there, or bless someone else, give them some money at the cafe and say, well, the next person that comes and asks for a drink, this, give it on me. An evangelist blesses people. We want to be good news, not just talk good news. And then Jesus was revolutionary in that he cared for the spiritual, emotional, and practical needs of everyone who would let him do so. So the only criteria that determines whether Jesus can be a shepherd to us is whether we will let him be our shepherd. You know, every one of us has said yes to Jesus. He's our shepherd. And we know how much he cares for us, not just spiritually, giving us righteousness and forgiveness of sin and peace in our hearts, but emotionally, Jesus heals us. Practically, Jesus provides our needs, and as a body, we care for each other. And then as a teacher, Jesus shares and explains spiritual truth, and his words are there. He's given us the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Amen. And then the final bit of what I'm going to say before we unpack some of this together with some questions, discussion questions, are these verses from Ephesians 3. Let's read them together, shall we? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And in the first week of the course, we're asked to memorize those verses and then think about what it actually means for the way we live together. So how many of us have got active imaginations? How many of us like to dream big? Are you younger people, have you got big dreams for your future? I hope so. Get your hopes up, get your expectations up. This is saying that God is not only aimed to dream or imagine bigger, even than what we ask, but he's able to do even more than all we ask or imagine. And how does he do that? This verse say, how does he do it? According to the power that works where? Okay, so tell the person nearest to you, God's power works in me. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, every one of us has a world-transforming, life-changing power of Jesus Christ. His resurrection power is at work within us. To him be glory in the church. In other words, this is how Jesus is glorified in the church. If we elect God to do more than we can ask or imagine by releasing the power that he's put within us, he's glorified in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations. Do you know that what we do this week is going to affect the generations to come? Amen. Not just your children or grandchildren. We don't know how, you know, Jesus might come next year, he might come next week, he might not come for 200 years. We don't know. But what we, the way, the choices we make now impact future generations. Amen. So here's some discussion questions. So we'll probably get into, two or three groups. Maybe three groups would be good. Forsyth, could you take a group? Rita, you take a group, and I'll take a group, because we were all there on Tuesday when we've already discussed these, so we can share that. So firstly, we're going to tell each other how we have seen Jesus express his ministry through the different people in our group. So obviously, the longer you've been in this church, the easier it should be for you to look at someone else in your small group and say, right, I have seen Jesus expressing himself through Emmanuel, through Philip, through Jeanette in this way. Okay, so that's what we're doing. We're thinking about, have I seen Jesus expressing himself through this person? Okay, the question one. So do you think we could all have a go at that? Hopefully. Question two, which one of the five ministry roles, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, or teacher, is easiest for you to connect with Jesus? So when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you think about these roles, which do you see most clearly when you're reading about Jesus? Do you see him most clearly as an apostle, an evangelist, a prophet, a shepherd, or a teacher? And which do you find most difficult to connect with Jesus. Okay, and why do you think that is? So that's an interesting question. And then I'll have to flip the slides. We'll do these two questions a bit later. Discuss in your group the church being a revolutionary presence in the world. What would it look like in Coventry if the church, every one of us, was operating in the gift that God's put within us to the fullest extent, and we were doing it together as a team, as a family? How would Coventry be different? And then the last question, how is our faith in God's power directly linked to our call to be a permanent revolution? So again, that's going back to Ephesians 4. When the body of Christ is operating in all five gifts, we're going to see revolutionary move of God in our city, like the book of Acts. And how is that related to those verses we read about God's power at work within us? So hopefully that's enough for us to do. So I'm going to stop the recording here.